Yesterday, I was spending a lot of time on Instagram, not because I am addicted to Instagram most of the time, right? So, but I was on Instagram because if you saw, there was a priest, a bishop from Australia who was murdered, or not murdered, he was stabbed during his preaching, an Orthodox priest, bishop. And there was this, he's been preaching on forgiveness, he's been preaching on the truths of the faith. And then as I was, you know, going through stories and different things, I came across this one gentleman who was not Catholic, and he was challenged by someone who was Catholic to say, if the Eucharist is really Jesus, I want to challenge you to go to 30 minutes of prayer, of adoration, for 30 days. So he did, and he was very confused at what was going on, but what he noticed was the reverence of the people around him. People would walk in and they would genuflect, or they'd bend down and kiss the floor. And he just talks about how moved he was by these reverent Catholics. And as he began to spend more time and receive benediction for 30 days straight and spend 30 minutes with what he thought was bread, by the end of that 30 days, for 30 minutes, he knew that it was really Jesus, and he had this desire to become Catholic. And we're in this time of John 6. This is like the meat and potatoes of the Catholic faith and why we believe in the Eucharist. We always go to John 6, John 6, John 6. I'm going to say 6 one more time so I don't say 666, right? But it's important that we get context of like where we're at in this gospel, because if you haven't come to daily mass, it can be a little bit confusing. Why are they asking Jesus to do a sign? Why are they saying what they're saying? So let's remember that. So Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He multiplied that and fed 5,000 people. And then that evening, he also walked on water. So if like you're kind of wondering, why are they asking for a sign? The dude just literally took 5 loaves and 2 fish, fed 5,000 people. Like, sign, right? He walks on water, sign. But now they're asking him for a deeper sign. But now he's saying, I am the bread of life. There's this restless heart that is in the hearts of the people. And he meets their restlessness in saying, I am the bread of life. Because they say, sir, give us this bread always. There's just the restlessness. I want what you have to give. And he said, I am. So whenever Jesus says, I am, we know that those are bold statements in the Jewish tradition. And also when he says, amen, amen, I say to you, that's like putting your hand on the Bible and say, I swear by the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus is making statements that he wants to be clear for all eternity. He's making eternal declarations. And as it comes to Catholics, and I just want to give you an image for us. I just want you to imagine you have 6 arrows. You have 6 arrows all pointing at one thing. And those 6 arrows represent 6 of the 7 sacraments. So we have baptism. We have confession. We have holy matrimony, right? We have holy orders. And we have anointing of the sick. And we have confession. So we have all those 6, but they're all pointing at the Eucharist. All of the sacraments in the Catholic Church point towards the Eucharist, because they all revolve around the Eucharist. Like, in essence, like, I can get baptized, yes, but doesn't God want to feed his children? And if I go to confession, why do I go to confession? Well, it's for sure because I want my conscience to be formed, but also it's because I want to receive the Eucharist. And before anyone who becomes Catholic, in the process of becoming Catholic, you always have to be in a state of grace before you receive any sacrament. In particular, the Eucharist. Like, I didn't become a priest to preach, to be honest. I love preaching. But it's because of the Eucharist, right? And it's in the sacrament of anointing of the sick. If someone is someone's sick, they can receive viaticum, which is they receive a little bit of the Eucharist, and they receive the apostolic blessing, they receive the anointing, but it's food for the journey to heaven. And when a couple gets married, I haven't had one couple that's requested this, but when a couple gets married and there's not the Mass, it just doesn't make any sense. Because the Mass is a wedding where the two become one flesh. You come down down the aisle and you become one with the God of the universe. Like, it'd be so weird if we had a red candle for a sanctuary lamp and we've all this stuff going on we were just playing like games. And I was just like, we're just playing make-believe. But we truly believe this is Jesus. And by that gentleman spending, 30 minutes for 30 days, his heart was converted, but not just by the Eucharist. Remember that. It's not just by the Eucharist. It was the people that were there too. He was so moved by their reverence, by dropping to their knees, kissing the floor, and just adoring the God of the universe who adores them. We have this time to really say, Lord, my heart is restless. And we know St. Augustine says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And these different followers who are seeing these miracles happen in Jesus, these different signs, they, in their restlessness, they say, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus says, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. We're going to hear the rest of the Bread of Life discourse this week. So I really want to encourage you, spend time with John chapter 6. And if you believe, then we also have to act like we believe too. And if you don't believe, maybe take up that challenge. Take up the challenge of spending 30 minutes for 30 days down here in adoration and see if your life changes. And may it come to the point where someone attacks you for your faith. Yes, that may happen. But we have to remember that this life is just, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. But wouldn't it be a shame if we say we believe in Jesus, but we don't spend time with him? We don't act like we believe in him, because that does make a difference. And I'll end with this. My sister-in-law is not Catholic. I pray for her conversion every single day. Encourage you to pray for her too. But one thing she said is, she came to me and my brother said, I believe that you too believe it's Jesus, because you talk about Jesus in the Eucharist all the time. But when I go to Mass, it's like no one believes. Everyone looks like a zombie. People receive Jesus so irreverently, if it is truly him in the Eucharist. And she says, because of that, I will not believe. That's the difference that our reverence truly makes. That's the difference of what it makes to be in a state of grace. That's the difference that all the sacraments pointing to our source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist, makes. And I'm not saying our community is not reverent. I'm not saying that by any means. You are all very reverent. But do know that your reverence does make a difference. But we got to make sure we're reverent for Jesus, not for others. There can be a temptation that can creep in, which can even cause restlessness in our hearts, to focus on what other people think about me. But if you have that intimacy with Jesus and you're focused only on him in the Holy Eucharist, that's really what will truly bring rest to your restless heart. And Jesus is going to double down, even triple down, in our readings today about this reality of him being present in the Eucharist. He says, he ends with by saying, whoever comes to me will never hunger, because he's going to feed you with himself. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. That thirst is a symbol of that restlessness. Once you know, there's nothing like knowing. Once you believe, there's nothing like believing. It changes everything. This is ultimately why Catholics are Catholic. This is ultimately why Protestants become Catholic. It's truly because of the Eucharist if they're going to remain a faithful Catholic. So I want you to take a moment of silence and just to pause on any encounters and reflect on any encounters you've had with Jesus in the Eucharist. And just to say thank you to him. Because there's so many people who have never had those. Or maybe a point where you had just so much going on, you came to adoration, or you went to some event where there was Eucharistic adoration, or there was a Mass, and that restlessness, it just dissipated. Because he is the only one who can give us rest. He is the only one who can truly satiate all the desires of our hearts. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall upon us and to reveal to us those times when we have encountered you in the Holy Eucharist. We pray for a greater thirst for you in the Eucharist, and we pray for all those who do not believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Pray for all the restless souls on this campus, for their conversion. And we pray to always be humble before you, to always be reverent before you, knowing that our reverence does indeed help build the kingdom of God on this campus. Come, Holy Spirit.